Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise and get you straight to the insights that matter. Today we're tackling something, well, honestly, it's frustratingly common for so many small business owners. You might be leaving thousands of dollars on the table with your taxes, just, you know, letting it go, simply because you're not fully aware of all the deductions out there.
Exactly. It's not about shady tactics or anything like that. It's about being smart, really strategic within the rules. A lot of entrepreneurs, they just don't know what they don't know, right? And that knowledge gap, it often means higher tax bills, less money for growing the business.
Right. And that's really our mission for this deep dive. We want to give you a shortcut, a way to get truly informed about small business tax deductions, specifically looking ahead to 2025. Our goal is to uncover those missed opportunities. Some are obvious, maybe, but others are surprisingly specific. We want to give you actionable insights, things you can actually use to legally lower your tax bill and, you know, put more money back in your business.
Yeah, and to do that, we've pulled together, well, quite a stack of current articles, expert guides, all focused on the latest for 2025. Tax laws, common pitfalls small businesses run into. Think of this as like your essential toolkit for getting some of that cash back.
Okay, sounds good. So let's maybe start right at the beginning. Lay the foundation. What exactly is a tax deduction in the eyes of the IRS? And then why do so many businesses miss out, even though it seems like a no-brainer?
Okay, so the IRS definition basically is a cost of carrying on your trade or business. The key words are ordinary and necessary. Ordinary meaning it's common in your field, necessary meaning it's helpful, helps you make a profit. And the impact is immediate. It's pretty direct. When you deduct an expense, you literally lower your taxable income.
So less income tax means less tax owed. Simple as that.
Pretty much. Less tax owed to the IRS. Which frees up capital, right? Money you can reinvest.
Okay, if it's that straightforward, why the shocking statistic? You mentioned potentially up to 90% of business owners overpaying because of missed deductions. It seems huge.
It is huge. And part of the problem is, well, the rules keep changing. They're not static. We had the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act back in 2018 that shook things up starting in 2019. And there are new updates for 2025 we need to talk about. So many owners just can't keep up, or maybe they don't realize the full range of what qualifies.
It feels like you almost need to be a tax expert yourself sometimes.
Or have one on your side, definitely. It really highlights that tax savings, real savings, happen all year long. It's about proactive planning, not just scrambling in March or April when the deadline looms.
Absolutely. Waiting until tax season. You probably already missed the boat on a lot of strategic moves. So proactive planning. It's not just jargon. It's where the real savings are found.
Precisely. Year-round vigilance.
Okay. So building on that proactive idea, your business structure, the actual legal entity you choose, that seems foundational. Sets the stage for everything tax-wise, right?
Oh, absolutely critical. How you structure can save you a ton, especially with self-employment tax. Think about sole proprietors, partners, many LLCs. You're looking at a 15.3% self-employment tax. That's Social Security and Medicare.
Right, both the employer and employee have.
Exactly. But let's say your business is netting, oh, maybe over $80,000 a year profit. If you elect S-Corp status, you can pay yourself a reasonable salary. That's key.
Meaning, like, what the job is worth on a market.
Right, what someone else would get paid for that role. Then you can take the rest of the profit as distributions. And here's the kicker. Those distributions, they aren't subject to that 15.3% self-employment tax.
Wow. Okay. So that difference goes straight to your bottom line, essentially.
Effectively, yes. Less paid out in those specific taxes.
Okay. S-Corp sounds appealing there. But what about C-Corp? Sometimes you hear about those, especially for bigger companies. Is that ever better? Or is that double taxation risk always looming?
That's a good question. C-Corp have that flat 21% corporate tax rate, which for some really high earners might actually be lower than their personal income tax rate. But yeah, you've got that double taxation issue, the corporation pays tax, then shareholders pay tax again on dividends. It needs very careful planning. It's not for everyone. Depends on the goals, profit levels, investors maybe.
Got it. But regardless of the structure, S-Corp, C-Corp, whatever.
Yeah.
There are some basics everyone needs to nail. First one, separate finances, business and personal, always. Separate accounts, separate cards. Seems simple, but
crucial. Absolutely critical. You need that clear audit trail. Makes tax prep way simpler. Commingling funds. That's like waving a red flag at the IRS. Makes every deduction look questionable if personal stuff is mixed in.
And the second basic principle, record keeping. You just can't escape it.
Nope. Record keeping is king. Diligent, year-round, doesn't matter if it's paper files or fancy digital apps, you need it to back up every deduction. Avoid penalties. That old shoebox full of crumpled receipts, that's just not going to cut it.
Huh. Yeah, the shoebox method. Yeah. Probably not IRS approved.
Definitely not. Think of it like this. The IRS kind of assumes you don't have proof until you show them. Meticulous records are your proof. And those automated expense tracking tools, they can really help. Like having a little detective working for you, catching every receipt, every mile, stops things from slipping through the cracks.
Okay, basics covered. Separate finances, keep good records. Now for the exciting stuff, the big ticket opportunities. Deductions that can really move the needle on your tax bill. Like depreciation section 179 and bonus depreciation. Let's unpack those.
Right. These are powerful. They let you deduct a big chunk of the cost of tangible assets, equipment, machinery, furniture, vehicles right away, instead of spreading that cost out over years and years.
So it's about immediate impact on your taxes for that year.
Exactly. Big cash flow benefit. For 2025, Section 179 lets you deduct up to $1.25 million of qualifying property instantly, though there's a phase out if you spend over $3.13 million on assets.
Still, $1.25 million is a significant immediate write-off, a real incentive to invest in the business now. And bonus depreciation, is that on top of Section 179?
It's another option, sometimes used in conjunction, or if Section 139 limits are hit. For 2025, the bonus depreciation rate is 40%. It's actually phasing down. It used to be higher. So that's something to note. And the key thing for both, the asset has to be placed in service by December 31st. Bought and used.
Okay. So just buying it isn't enough. Got to be operational by year end.
Right. Timing those big purchases is critical.
Okay. This next one gets a lot of buzz, especially for smaller businesses. The Qualified Business Income Deduction, QBI, Section 199A. First, maybe just quickly remind us, what's a pass-through entity again?
Good point. Pass-throughs are like S-corp, partnerships, sole proprietorships. The business profits pass through directly to the owner's personal tax return. You don't pay a separate corporate tax first. And QBI, it's powerful. It lets these eligible businesses deduct up to 20% of their qualified business income.
20%? That sounds amazing. What's the catch?
Well, it's complex. There aren't income limits. And there are restrictions for what they call specified service businesses. Think health, law, finance, consulting. Although there are exceptions to those restrictions too, based on your income level, so it gets tricky.
Okay, complex. But here's the really urgent part for 2025,
yeah.
Right? This QBI deduction, it's going away.
That's the crucial point. It is scheduled to sunset, to expire, after December 31st, 2025.
Wow. Okay, so this year, 2025, is potentially the last chance to claim it unless Congress acts. Knowing that deadline, what can business owners do now to maximize it?
Right. The clock is ticking. It puts real pressure on planning. The strategy isn't just knowing about QBI. It's actively optimizing, maybe managing your business income, or if you're an S-corp, adjusting your W-2 wages, maybe hiring W-2 employees, anything to boost that qualified income or wage base to really capture as much of that 20% deduction as possible before it vanishes. Proactive income management is key.
Yeah, definitely one to discuss with a tax pro this year. Beyond deductions, let's talk credits. Tax credits. These are different, right? They reduce your tax bill dollar for dollar.
Exactly. Deductions lower your taxable income. Credits directly reduce the tax you owe. So a $1,000 credit saves you $1,000 in tax. Super valuable. And they're often completely overlooked.
Why do you think that is?
Often businesses just don't realize they qualify. Take the research and development, the R&D tax credit. People think it's only for like giant tech companies or labs, but it can apply to businesses developing new products, software, even just improving internal processes. Small tweaks can count. Though, be aware, for 2025, the reporting is a bit stricter. You need Form 6765, more detailed documentation.
Okay, R&D, what else?
The Work Opportunity Tax Credit, WOTC. This gives you savings, potentially up to $9,600 per employee, for hiring people from specific groups, like veterans or the long-term unemployed.
That's fantastic. Good for the community, good for the business's tax bill.
It's a win-win. And don't forget energy efficiency stuff. Federal and state credits for things like solar panels, efficient HVAC systems, less common, but still valuable. 45E tax credits. These are for starting retirement plans for your employees and matching contributions. Helps offset the cost of offering those benefits.
Okay, so lots of potential credits out there too. Worth investigating. Now, we've hit the big deductions, the strategic stuff, but tax savings aren't always about huge lump sums, are they? Sometimes it's the everyday expenses, the small stuff that adds up over the year. Let's get into those cumulative savings, starting with a big one for many now, the home office deduction.
Right. Very relevant. Two ways to do this. Simplified method. $5 per square foot, up to 300 square feet, maxes out at $1,500, easy calculation, or the actual expense method. Here you deduct a percentage of your actual home costs, things like mortgage interest, property taxes, utilities, insurance repairs, even depreciation, based on the percentage of your home you use for business.
Okay, actual expense sounds like it could be bigger, but more work.
Definitely more work, more record keeping, and the absolute key for either method. The space must be used exclusively and regularly for business. Exclusively. Working at the kitchen table while the kids eat breakfast, that doesn't count, needs to be a dedicated room or area or your main place of business.
Got it. Exclusivity is key. Another big area. Vehicle and travel expenses. How do you track those effectively?
For your business vehicle, you've got two choices again. Standard mileage rate, 70 cents a mile for 2025, easy to track. Or the actual expense method. Gas, oil changes, insurance, lease payments, tolls, parking, registration fees, all that adds up. Whichever method you choose, the absolute must-have is meticulous mileage logs. Dates, purpose, miles driven. Remember that tax detective? Logs are its evidence.
Right, no logs, no deduction, basically. What about travel away from home?
Business travel, yeah. If you're away overnight from your tax home, usually your main place of business things are generally fully deductible. Airfare, hotels, rental cars, taxis, even dry cleaning sometimes. Now, if you mix business with pleasure, bleisure they call it sometimes.
Yeah, tack on a vacation.
Right. Only the business portion is deductible then you need to allocate. And business meals. Generally, 50% deductible. Needs a clear business purpose, usually with a client or contact present. Meals during that overnight business travel, though. Often 100% deductible. Same for company-wide employee parties, like a holiday bash if it's infrequent and for everyone.
Okay, good distinctions there. What about getting the word out? Marketing, advertising.
Pretty straightforward. 100% deductible. Digital ads, social media boosts, PR, website costs, brochures, hiring a marketing consultant. If it's to promote your business, write it off.
And staying sharp. Professional development, education.
Deductible. If it maintains or improves skills for your current job or business, think workshops, conferences, industry journals, online courses relevant to what you do now. Can't use it to deduct training for a completely new career path, though.
Makes sense. And the day-to-day stuff. Office supplies, tech.
All that operational stuff, 100% deductible. Paper, pens, printers, computers, software subscriptions like your CRM or accounting software, website hosting, those fees from PayPal or Stripe.
Payment processing fees, yeah, those add up.
They really do. Anything that keeps the wheels turning day to day.
Business insurance. Seems like a necessary cost.
And generally deductible. General liability, professional liability, errors and omissions, commercial property, workers' comp, cyber insurance, even unemployment insurance taxes paid. If it protects the business, likely deductible.
Okay. Interest on loans. Bank fees.
Interest paid on business loans and business credit cards. Deductible. But just the interest part, not the principal you're paying back. And yes, business bank account fees, service charges, overdraft fees, wire transfer fees, plus those merchant processing fees we mentioned, all deductible.
What about fixing things versus upgrading things? Repairs and maintenance.
Key difference here. Repairs things that just keep property in good working order, like fixing a leaky pipe, fully deductible now. Renovations or improvements, things that add significant value or extend the life of the property, like a major roof replacement. Those usually have to be depreciated over time, not deducted all at once.
Okay, repair versus improvement. Got it. And finally, what about taxes themselves? Can you deduct taxes paid?
Some, yes. Business taxes like employer-paid payroll taxes, Social Security, Medicare match, federal unemployment taxes, FUTA, state unemployment taxes, SUTA, real estate taxes paid on business property you own, certain state and local business income taxes. But crucially, your personal federal, state, and local income taxes, generally not deductible as a business expense.
Right, that's a personal obligation. Okay, that covers a lot of the day-to-day stuff. Let's shift focus to people, employees, contractors, even family. Lots of deductions here, too.
Big area. First off, employee salaries and wages, including W-2 pay, the employer share of payroll taxes, paid time off benefits. Fully deductible. Same goes for payments to independent contractors. Just remember, if you pay a contractor over $600 in a year, you need to issue them a Form 1099 and SHU-PC.
Right, the 1099 requirement. Now, here's one that always sounds intriguing. Hiring your own kids. How does that work as a tax strategy?
It's a fantastic strategy, actually, one done correctly. It's not just about getting help. It's smart income shifting. You can deduct legitimate wages you pay your children for actual work they perform for the business. Cleaning the office, filing social media help, whatever's appropriate for their age. And the cool part, That income can be tax-free to them if it's below their standard deduction limit. For 2025, that's around $14,000.
So the business gets a deduction and the child potentially pays zero tax on the earnings.
Exactly. Plus, if they're under 18 and working for your sole proprietorship or partnership owned solely by you and your spouse, their wages might also be exempt from Social Security and Medicare taxes. FICA.
Wow.
Yeah, it keeps money in the family, lowers the overall family tax burden, teaches kids about work and money. Win-win-win.
Definitely something for family businesses to look into.
Okay.
Thinking longer term. Retirement contributions. These are deductions too.
Right. Huge deductions, often. Contributions to traditional retirement accounts like a SIP IRA or solo 401k are generally tax deductible dollar for dollar. And as a business owner, you often have much higher contribution limits than a regular employee. You can contribute as both the employer and the employee.
What kind of limits are we talking about?
For 2025, with plans like a solo 401k or SEP IRA, the total contributions could potentially reach up to $69,000, depending on your income, plus catch-up contributions if you're over 50, and for really high earners. Defined benefit or cash balance pension plans can allow massive deductible contributions, sometimes $100,000, $200,000, even over $300,000 a year. Powerful wealth building and tax reduction tool.
Okay, those are significant numbers. What about health costs, health insurance premiums?
Another big one, especially for the self-employed. If you're self-employed, an LLC member, a partner, or an S-Corp shareholder owning more than 2%, you can often deduct 100% of the health insurance premiums you pay for yourself, your spouse, and dependents. Even if the plan covers the whole family, it's an above-the-line deduction, which helps lower your adjusted gross income.
So it directly reduces your taxable income.
Mm-hmm.
And what about health savings accounts, HSAs? Heard those are good too.
HSAs are fantastic. Triple tax advantaged, which is rare. One, contributions are tax deductible going in. Two, the money grows tax-free inside the account. Three, withdrawals are tax-free if used for qualified medical expenses.
And qualified expenses is pretty broad, right?
It is. Doctor visits, dentists, prescriptions, vision care. But it can also potentially include things like chiropractor visits, acupuncture, maybe even gym memberships or massages if a doctor prescribes them for a specific condition. Very versatile.
Okay, lots to think about with people and benefits. Let's move beyond the standard stuff now. Some unique situations, maybe some clever strategic moves. What about when you're just starting out? Those initial costs.
Right, startup and organizational costs. Good news for new businesses. In your first year, you can generally deduct up to $5,000 in startup costs, like market research, travel to find suppliers, and each the $5,000 in organizational costs, like legal fees for incorporating, state filing fees.
So potentially $10,000 right off the bat.
Potentially, yes. There's a catch. The deduction starts phasing out if your total startup or organizational costs exceed $50,000 each. Costs above the initial $5 generally get amortized over 15 years. But it's a nice boost early on.
Okay. What about when things go wrong? Bad bets.
Yeah.
Business losses.
Unfortunately, it happens. Bad debts, like a customer who just never pays an invoice you already recorded as income, can often be written off if you can prove the debt is worthless. And if the business itself has a loss for the year, for sole proprietors, partners, LLC owners, taxed as pass-throughs, those business losses generally flow through to your personal return and can offset other income you might have, like spouse's wages or investment income, within certain limits, of course.
Okay, now for one that sounds almost sneaky, the Augusta Rule. Renting your house to your own business. Tell me more.
Huh. It sounds wild, but it's legit. It's named after Augusta, Georgia, because people there used it when renting homes for the Masters tournament. Basically, Section 280AG of the tax code lets you rent out your personal residence for up to 14 days a year without having to report that rental income on your personal tax return. It's tax-free income to you.
Okay. Tax-free income. How does the business side work?
Here's the clever part. If you rent your home to your own business for a legitimate business purpose, think hosting a board meeting, a strategic planning retreat, a company event for 14 days or less, the business can take a deduction for the rent paid, assuming it's a reasonable market rate.
So business gets a deduction, you get tax-free income.
Exactly. Proper documentation is absolutely key, though. You need minutes for the meeting, proof it happened, evidence of the fair rental rate, can't just be a sham, but done right. It's a neat way to pull money out tax efficiently.
Fascinating. Okay, another one specific to S-Corp. Accountable plans. Why are these so important, especially now?
Super important for S-Corp owners who work in the business. Remember how the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act got rid of the deduction for unreimbursed employee business expenses on personal returns?
Right, that miscellaneous itemized deduction went away.
Exactly. So if an S-Corp owner pays for business expenses personally, maybe part of their cell phone bill, home internet used for work, mileage on their personal car for business trips, they can't deduct it personally anymore. But if the S-Corp has a formal accountable plan set up, the business can reimburse the owner for those documented business expenses.
And that reimbursement is?
Tax-free to the owner employee. And the business gets the deduction. It's the proper way to handle those mixed-use expenses. It also helps justify your reasonable salary by showing these are reimbursements, not hidden wages, potentially impacting your S-Corp tax savings. Essential for S-Corp.
Good to know. And looking even bigger picture, what if you're thinking about selling your business? M&A tax planning.
Oh, crucial to think about early. When you sell a business, how the deal is structured as a stock sale or an asset sale has massive tax consequences for both the buyer and the seller. Affects capital gains rates for the seller, depreciation opportunities for the buyer. Planning ahead can literally save or make millions in taxes on the transaction, not something to figure out at the closing table.
Definitely need expert advice there. Okay, speaking of changes, the tax landscape is always shifting. There was mention of recent federal legislation, something called the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. What did that bring for 2025 that listeners need to know?
Right, that act was signed July 4th, 2025. It locked in some anticipated changes. We already mentioned the bonus depreciation rate dropping to 40% for 2025, that's confirmed. It also brought some potential relief on the SALT cap, the state and local tax deduction limit.
Ah, the $10,000 limit that hit a lot of people.
Exactly. The act suggests it might double to $20,000 for married couples filing jointly. That would be a welcome change for many in higher tax states. Still need final IRS guidance, but it's in the legislation.
Okay, good to know. And beyond Congress, what about the IRS itself? Any compliance changes, things businesses need to do differently?
Big push towards digital. For 2025, if you file 10 or more returns in total, that's adding up all your W-2s, 1099s, etc., you must file them electronically. No more paper filing for larger batches.
10 or more total. Okay, that catches a lot of small businesses.
It does. Also, remember all that buzz about beneficial ownership information reporting? BOI.
Yeah, that caused some confusion.
Well, the latest updates clarify that for now, the mandatory filing requirement is primarily focused on foreign reporting companies. Most typical domestic U.S. small businesses are currently not required to file that specific BOI report, which is a relief for many. Always good to double check specifics, but that's the current state.
Okay, one less thing for many to worry about. What else?
The 1099K threshold. This affects businesses using platforms like PayPal, Venmo, Square, payment apps. The reporting threshold, the amount that triggers a 1099K form, is phasing down. For 2025 transactions, it's dropping to $2,500.
Down from $20,000 previously, right? That's a big drop.
Huge drop, and it's set to drop further to just $600 for 2026 onwards. Means the IRS will be getting way more data on these transactions. Makes accurate bookkeeping absolutely essential.
Yeah, no more forgetting about that side hustle income.
Yeah.
The IRS will know. And with all this data, all these changes, are audits becoming more likely? What triggers them?
The IRS is definitely stepping up enforcement. They're using more AI, more advanced tech. They're particularly looking at complex pass-through entities like partnerships and S-Corp. And a perennial favorite, reasonable compensation for S-Corp owners. Are you paying yourself a fair salary or trying to take too much as distributions to avoid payroll taxes?
So what's the best defense?
Documentation. Documentation. Poor records are the biggest red flag. Missing W-2, salary proof for an S-Corp owner. Inadequate logs for your home office or vehicle use. Commingled funds. That's what gets you into trouble. If you can't prove it with solid records, the IRS can disallow the deduction and you could face penalties.
Okay, the message is loud and clear. So wrapping this all up, what's the absolute bottom line for small business owners listening right now thinking about taxes for 2025?
Two things, really. Proactive planning and professional guidance. Smart tax planning isn't a once-a-year thing you do in April. It's continuous, all year long. That lets you adjust strategies, make purchases before deadlines, maybe shift income or expenses strategically to maximize deductions like QBI before it expires.
And the professional guidance part, is it really worth the cost for a small business?
Absolutely invaluable. A good tax strategist or CPA who understands your business and industry, they pay for themselves many times over. They navigate the complexity, find overlooked deductions specific to you, keep you compliant, prevent costly errors, and remember the fees you pay them. generally 100% tax deductible as a business expense. It's literally a deduction for getting help finding more deductions.
That's a good way to think about it. And maybe leverage some of those tech tools too.
Yeah, those automated expense and mileage trackers, they act like that personal tax detective we talked about. Makes capturing everything much easier.
Okay. We've covered a massive amount of ground today. From everyday stuff like office supplies and mileage to big strategic plays like entity choice, depreciation, QBI, even hiring your kids. It really shows the breadth of opportunities out there.
It does. And maybe here's a final thought to leave you with. The greatest tax deduction, maybe it isn't just about, you know, cutting costs here and there. It's about consciously thinking differently, transforming every ordinary necessary business expense into an opportunity to fuel growth, build stability, strategically shape your financial future. It's about thinking like an investor, but in your own tax planning.
I like that. Thinking like an investor in your tax planning. Powerful idea. So we really encourage you, our listener, take this information, review your own business finances, think about these strategies, and most importantly, talk to a qualified tax professional. Build a custom plan that fits your unique situation, your goals. Don't leave that money on the table.